Radio Network. .com.
Hey, welcome everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, broadcasting worldwide on IPM Nation 2. And it's Tuesday, so we are also on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. And let's see. We did the television edition of Unleashed earlier. Of course, that will be up and available on YouTube if you missed it live sometime tomorrow. So we'll share that out on social media as soon as it's up. My guest this week was supposed to be Sean Michelonis, but he's gonna come on the television edition next week. But I did have the privilege of chatting with Joel Elber, who was only able to stick around for about the first 10-15 minutes of the show. But Joel, also known as the Moose, one of the co-hosts on the morning show with Peter White and the Moose, which you can hear weekday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern on IPM Nation 3. And if you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, you can also hear it on 95.3 FM. And known Joel a long time, and he's always really fun to talk to. If you haven't heard the morning show, it's much better than most morning shows. They're just so naturally funny. Joel is just a naturally hilarious person. He doesn't even have to really try at it. So that was a lot of fun. And Joel is running for the New Hampshire State Legislature as well. So and then of course we got into some other stuff talking about the abortion ruling on Texas and their anti-abortion laws. The Supreme Court ruling on that, and that's been a pretty big story. At last count, by the way, Republican nominee Donald Trump has yet to weigh in on the matter, which is really strange. And it's very frustrating to conservative pro-lifers who want him to say something, obviously, and what they want him to say is to condemn the ruling. But he has yet to do so, at least as far as I know. Last I looked anyway. So very strange. But maybe we'll get back into that a little bit later. But we have some other things to cover. But and some of that is stuff that I just didn't get to on tonight's television edition. So, of course, the radio edition you can hear five nights a week on IPM Nation 2 at 11 p.m. Eastern. Tuesdays and Thursday nights, as I said, we're also carried on OTR-FM. And don't forget, of course, our sponsors. We are powered by Ambit Energy. So if you'd like to learn how to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You'll be glad that you did. Check that out, and you could be on your way to free energy. And, of course, we are sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. If you're buying a home, you owe it to yourself. Go to themortgagespecialists.com and schedule an appointment either at one of their locations or they'll come to you. And, you definitely want some help in making such a giant purchase. So themortgagespecialists.com. And I have a phone line open for you if you'd like to call in tonight, 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as an IPM Nation. Or if you prefer, 617-917-4476. You can call or text at that number, and we'll put you on the air. Of course, we have the chat room at ipmnation.com/live2. So you can always opine there as well. You can tweet me at Matt Connerton, and you can post on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page. I just shared out on Facebook page. I may potentially kind of sort of agree with Trump on something. This is unusual lately. Maybe Trump hasn't been able to comment on the Supreme Court's ruling on Texas because he's too busy talking about trade. This just went up at 8:20 tonight on HuffPost. Trump calls trade deal a rape of our country, his exact words. Trump is talking about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And one thing I'll say, you know, Trump, he certainly does like to use colorful language. You would think after some of what happened in 2012 that, you know, at a certain point, Republicans would learn not to talk about rape, either literally or metaphorically. But Trump seems to like using that word. You know, he referred to Mexicans as rapists and so forth. Maybe he thinks Mexicans are behind the TPP. I don't know. But the thing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership is that we only know a very little bit. We, the American public, and I assume people in other countries as well, only know a very little bit about what's actually in it because it was kept a big secret. And that should alarm all of us, because if the government is working with other governments to do things that are kept a secret from us, and there is no transparency, then we should be worried that whatever is going on is actively designed to screw us. And the TPP also, it set up a very strange dynamic where Obama and basically all the Republicans in Congress were trying to pass it, pitting Obama against his own party, because almost, not all, I shouldn't say almost all, but most, I would say probably the vast majority of Democrats in Congress were opposed to it. But Obama and the Republicans were actually on the same page on it, you know, and they got it through. And Hillary Clinton also is in favor of it. And Donald Trump, who is now at odds, well, this part's not unusual, at odds with the rest of what is allegedly his party by being against it and calling it a bad deal. Now, I don't know what Trump knows about it that the rest of us don't. I know that when this was in the process of being passed, people in Congress were allowed to go to some room and read the TPP, or at least parts of it, but they weren't allowed to photocopy anything. They weren't allowed to take any notes. They weren't allowed to leave the room with any information other than what they could recollect in their minds. Elizabeth Warren, who is becoming a more and more prominent figure as she is a potential Clinton VP pick. And, you know, Trump has been calling her Pocahontas because of her Native American heritage. And, you know, Trump's never afraid to pull out the racism. but yeah, he's calling the TPP a rape of our country. So let's see. This is from Politico. And like I said, he might not necessarily, I mean, God, I wouldn't use that terminology, but, you know, he might not necessarily be wrong about this. It says here, Donald Trump eviscerated. Oh, let me scroll back up here. This website's giving me some trouble tonight. I'm trying to scroll back up. Donald Trump eviscerated. Oh, went too far. Wow, I'm having trouble with this. Maybe I need to dump this into a different browser. I'm using Google Chrome, and it's not behaving very nicely. I'm going to try to put this in Firefox. Sorry, everybody. Don't mean to be slow here, but I really want to go over this. Let's see, and this is opening very slowly. Okay. Donald Trump eviscerated the Trans-Pacific Partnership Tuesday, repeatedly calling it a continuing rape of our country. Speaking at a campaign rally in Clarksville, Ohio, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee made his sharpest remarks yet about the Obama administration's as-yet unratified trade deal, calling it a disaster and a rape of the American people. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is another disaster done and pushed by special interests who want to rape our country, just a continuing rape of our country, Trump said. That's what it is, too. It's a harsh word. It's a rape of our country. Wow, he really, really likes the word rape. He then linked the deal to presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, citing her support for it as Secretary of State. Quote, Hillary cannot wait to rape the country. No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that, but it wouldn't surprise me. No, he said, quote, this is done by wealthy people who want to take advantage of us and that want to assign another partnership. So Hillary Clinton, not so long ago, said this was the gold standard of trade pacts, the gold standard, unquote. Clinton's gold standard comments date to November 2012, when as Secretary of State, she touted the proposed deal during a diplomatic trip to Australia. Clinton said, quote, this TPP sets the gold standard in trade agreements to open free, transparent, fair trade, the kind of environment that has the rule of law and a level playing field, unquote. Last fall, however, days prior to the Democratic presidential primary debate against Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Clinton came out against the TPP, saying that once it was negotiated, it didn't meet her standards. Trump took credit for Clinton's policy reversal in his Ohio speech, saying that she was shamed into rejecting it by him. I don't think that's true. She was already she had reversed her position before I even heard Trump say anything about it. We're already up against a break, so where's my cursor? There it is. Boy, Google Chrome has given me a hard time. All right. We will be right back, everybody, and hopefully I don't have any more issues. More Unleashed coming up.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton. What the hell's going on? Check, check. It was weird. I was getting an echo in my headphones. All right. I think... this is acting funny. Check, check. All right, I don't know. All right, yeah, having some... I think this computer's finally about had it. Having a little technical issues here at the Uptown Auto Repair Studio, but we'll try to... We'll try to soldier on here. Yeah, so Trump obviously opposing the TPP, but then there was this other thing, too. He was talking about free trade. Now, this is where it gets a little strange. So he talks about the TPP like it's a bad thing. And like I said, I might agree with him on that. A lot of other people. What's odd about this is it kind of puts him on the same page as somebody like Elizabeth Warren. You know, Trump and Elizabeth Warren have been having quite the war of words, and have said a lot of very nice, not so nice things about each other, but they might agree on this because, you know, Elizabeth Warren was a very harsh critic of the TPP, and her and Obama were publicly at war over that. So I don't know. That's loading slow, too. Might not be the computer. It might be our bad internet we have lately. Comcast has been pretty rough lately. All right. The odd thing about this, though, is, so on the one hand, he's against the TPP, but at the same time, he seems to be against any kind of free trade whatsoever, which most business people tend to regard free trade as a good thing, right? but Trump seems to be very much an isolationist in terms of trade. It says here, Trump declares a trade war. This is from HuffPost. Donald Trump promised Tuesday to end what he called the era of economic surrender in America, and laid out a hot-tempered isolationist vision for the nation's economy. The presumptive Republican nominee for president focused almost exclusively on trade during his remarks at an aluminum plant in Monessen, Pennsylvania. There, he repeatedly accused foreign leaders of cheating Americans out of manufacturing jobs and claimed that weak and dishonest U.S. politicians are allowing it to happen. Trump said, quote, "This is not some natural disaster. It's a politician-made disaster. It is the consequence of a leadership class that worships globalism over Americanism," unquote. Trump regularly cites his negotiating skills as one of the main qualifications to be president, along with his personal wealth and his experience in the real estate and golf businesses. Not surprisingly, he argued that, quote, "the negotiation of great trade deals is the quickest way to bring our jobs back," unquote. Trump depicted foreign nations not as America's trading partners, but as America's trading rivals. He claimed his policies would help U.S. workers recover the manufacturing jobs that have been outsourced to countries with fewer labor protections and lower standards of living. At one point, Trump said that any imports brought into America effectively shrink the U.S. economy, a claim that ignores the millions of Americans who support their families with jobs tied to trade or retail sales, or who simply boost economic activity by purchasing goods. The real estate mogul also sought to dampen the criticism that his campaign is short on specific proposals by running down a 7-point trade plan that he said he would enact as president. The items on his agenda included withdrawing from the as-yet-unsigned Trans-Pacific Partnership, renegotiating the 25-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, and penalizing China for its allegedly unfair trade practices. Of course, Trump is not the only politician to articulate these gripes. They're not even unique to the Republican Party. During the Democratic presidential primary, Senator Bernie Sanders frequently voiced the concerns of progressive economists and labor unions when he questioned China's currency policies and the United States' trade agreements with developing countries. But Trump's comments ignore the benefits of trade, and his proposed solutions would make many Americans' economic pain far worse. Three of the 7 proposals Trump mentioned Tuesday relate directly to U.S.-China trade policy. Another 2 had already been proposed months ago by presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Trump also used a speech to compare his campaign to the Brexit movement in the United Kingdom, where voters on Thursday voted in favor of Great Britain breaking from the European Union. Trump said, quote, our friends in Britain recently voted to take back control of their economy, policies, and borders, unquote. His celebration of Brexit, however, could end up hurting him in the polls. The chaos in financial markets after the Brexit vote has already destroyed $3 trillion in wealth around the world, with global markets plummeting amid uncertainty over how Europe and the UK will maintain their economic ties. The pound fell so rapidly in the wake of the Brexit vote that in a single day, the UK lost its long-standing position as the world's fifth largest economy. Wow. The UK was also stripped of its AAA rating by three major credit ratings agencies. That's brutal. Layoffs in the UK will start in weeks. Jonathan Llewellyn, the former chief economist of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, predicted on Monday, adding that he expected a recession in the coming quarters. Closer to home, Trump said that if he were president, the coal and steel industries would boom again. But the rosy projection ignores the fact that the Chinese coal and steel industries, from which Trump is promising to bring jobs back to the U.S., are shedding jobs and closing mines. In February, the Chinese government announced a plan to lay off 1.8 million workers in the coal and steel sectors, about 15% of the country's workforce in those industries. China will also close 1,000 coal mines, or about 10% of its total, Reuters reported. Eventually, China plans to close half of its 10,000 coal mines. And then there's this other article that I found where during his speech, let me see if I can find this quickly because I kind of switched to a different computer here. Trump is giving his speech on trade and tariffs and everything, and the Chamber of Commerce is actually in real time via social media was refuting everything everything Trump was saying. Yeah, 6 hours ago. This is from Newsmax. Chamber of Commerce live tweets rebuttal to Trump's speech. Let's see. Yeah, they, you know, because organizations like the Chamber of Commerce, obviously, and a lot of economists, frankly, tend to be very pro-free trade. Let's see. It says here. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce took a page from Donald Trump's own playbook and live tweeted its rebuttal to his economic speech Tuesday, in which he called for the United States to pull out of NAFTA. The organization quickly hit back at Trump point by point, according to Politico, which first reported on the chamber's tweet storm. Before Trump even took the stage at an aluminum producer in Moncine, Pennsylvania, the chamber tweeted out a post by its senior vice president for international policy, John G. Murphy. Quote, trade is no panacea. Some workers lose their jobs to international competition, just as technological change and shifting consumer tastes regularly put some manufacturers out of business. Let's see. But then he tweeted, it's appropriate for the federal government to provide these workers with training and transition assistance and of a better quality than current federal programs. But contrary to rumor, the benefits of trade greatly outweigh the costs. In fact, trade has been a lifeline for many more workers in Pennsylvania and Ohio, especially in the wake of the recession, unquote. As Trump began his speech, Murphy and the Chamber's account began tweeting in defense of both NAFTA and the TPP. Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders also have voiced opposition to TPP, though Clinton has supported NAFTA, which her husband, Bill Clinton, signed as president. I remember that vividly, by the way. In fact, I remember a debate that took place on Larry King Live, for those of you who remember Larry King Live on CNN. And it was a debate between, it was actually Ross Perot, who had been the third party candidate in 92. This was post-election, but he was debating Al Gore. And Perot was steadfastly against the North American Free Trade Agreement. And Al Gore, they're representing the Clinton administration, was very much obviously in favor of it. And the consensus was that Gore really outdid Perot in that debate. Yeah, the chamber tweeted out things like under Trump's trade plans, we would see higher prices, fewer jobs, and a weaker economy. Trade clearly is making a positive difference for American workers by providing good jobs. Let's see. You heard from Trump on trade. Here's what you really need to know. And then there's a link to some other facts and statistics. Even under the best case scenario, Trump's tariffs would strip us of at least 3.5 million jobs. And there were some others, but it's all online if you want to read the whole thing. But yeah, the Chamber of Commerce, they're usually very pro-Republican, but they're not pro-Trump, that is for sure. All right, so we're coming up against another break in a minute, so I'm going to... I'm not sure where we're going to go when we come back. There's a bunch of stuff I didn't get to on the television edition earlier, so we'll see. I'll decide during the break, so stick with me. More Unleashed coming up. We are live on IPM Nation 2 and OTRFM. Don't go away.
Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We are live on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM tonight. And sorry if the show is not quite up to our usual standard, having a little bit of some technical issues, but we'll get through it. Let's see, a couple other stories I wanted to hit like I said, some stuff left over from the television edition earlier. This is on CNN.com. This one up earlier today. Jeremy Diamond wrote this. Is Trump softening his tone? Donald Trump says he isn't changing his campaign style. Let's see. It says here, Donald Trump may be finally gearing up to do what many Republican leaders have hoped, soften his rhetoric and pivot to the center. He hasn't done that yet, but there are growing signs that the presumptive Republican nominee is aiming to make his campaign more palatable to a general election audience. His campaign is putting the finishing touches on a policy memo that would change his proposed ban on Muslim immigration to the United States. Instead of focusing the ban on Muslims, Trump would ban immigrants coming from countries with known terrorism links, training, and equipment. Meanwhile, he's eased off his hardline language, calling for deporting all undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. The new tone follows several tough weeks for the Trump campaign, as it has confronted a series of negative headlines that raised questions about its treatment of women and minorities and his temperament to be president. The big question is whether the softer tone is a blip that will soon be replaced by the familiar tough talk or a longer-term strategy that could help him take on Hillary Clinton. Trump first proposed a ban on Muslim immigrants in the aftermath of the terror attack in San Bernardino last year. In the wake of this month's shooting at an Orlando gay nightclub, Trump is focused on the need to ban Muslims from, quote, terror states instead of all Muslims. He even hinted at the possibility of allowing in Muslims from those countries as long as they are, quote, even more strongly vetted. People coming from the terror states, and you know who I'm talking about when I talk about the terror states, we are going to be so vigilant, you wouldn't believe it. And frankly, a lot will be banned, unquote. That's typical Trump speak. We will be so vigilant, you wouldn't believe it. It's going to be huge. But this is a shift, a big one. Saturday, when pressed on where his Muslim ban proposal stands, minutes later, Trump had struck a less defiant tone when asked by reporters whether, as president, he would allow a Scottish Muslim into the U.S. Quote, wouldn't bother me, wouldn't bother me, unquote, Trump said. Trump's campaign, though, was eager to paint the billionaire's position in a less controversial light. Quote, it is about terrorism and not about religion, unquote, said Trump's national finance chairman, Steve Munchen, who was traveling with Trump on a tour in Scotland. Pressed for clarity on Trump's position, his spokeswoman Hope Hicks confirmed to CNN Saturday that Trump wants the Muslim ban to focus on those coming into the U.S. from the still undesignated terror states, marking the campaign's first acknowledgement of an apparent pivot on the controversial policy. Trump this weekend also rebuffed characterizing his plan to deport all estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. as mass deportation. Trump told Bloomberg Politics on Saturday, quote, I would not call it mass deportations. We are going to get rid of a lot of bad dudes who are here. That I can tell you, unquote. Yes, the Republican nominee for president actually said, we are going to get rid of a lot of bad dudes. He's so hip with his speak. Well, I'm already more than halfway through this article, and he hasn't called anyone a rapist or anything. Let's see. And rather than emphasizing the criminal character of undocumented immigrants, as he has in the years since announcing his presidential bid and calling Mexican immigrants rapists, Trump stressed that his immigration policies would have heart. Really? The hints at a softening follow Trump's decision last week to fire controversial campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, who conceived and embodied the campaign's mantra, let Trump be Trump. The shakeup put Trump's campaign chairman and chief strategist Paul Manafort, who for months has hinted at an encouraged tone in policy shifts, more fully in charge. Manafort, a veteran Republican strategist with deep ties to the party establishment, had battled for months with Lewandowski over the need for Trump to adjust his rhetoric and pivot to the general election. The changing of the guard immediately began to herald a more traditional political operation as the campaign quickly amped up the pace of rapid response and fundraising emails. And in a prepared speech from Trump last week, the de facto GOP nominee laid out his most concise and well-argued case against Clinton to date. Manafort's goal of triggering a rhetorical downshift seemed to find its legs in Trump's markedly less inflammatory response last week to the Supreme Court's ruling that blocked President Barack Obama's executive action, which would have shielded millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation. In a statement, he didn't tout the need to build a wall or call for the deportation of millions of undocumented immigrants. Instead, it simply reinforced Trump's broader message about law and order, national security, and executive overreach. Trump said in a statement, quote, "The executive amnesty from President Obama wiped away the immigration rules written by Congress, giving work permits and entitlement benefits to people illegally in the country. This split decision also makes clear what is at stake in November. It is time to protect our country," unquote. By the way, for the record, I completely disagree with that characterization of Obama's executive order, but, you know. Until Lewandowski's dismissal, Trump showed few signs of changing, squandering six valuable weeks when Clinton was still fighting to clinch her party's nomination, just as he continued to relive his greatest hits against fellow Republicans in the primary. Trump also doubled down on some of his most controversial proposals, like his call for surveillance of U.S. mosques. But Trump must now confront the bleak reality that his doubling down on his controversial policies and rhetoric aren't giving him a boost with the general electorate. The most recent polls show Trump trailing Clinton by anywhere from 5 to 12 points, and Trump's favorability numbers haven't improved, as about 6 in 10 Americans have an unfavorable view of Trump, according to most recent polls. Under Manafort's guidance and practically unfettered influence, Trump's campaign has eagerly worked to smooth over GOP establishment concerns and present Trump as a more presidential and less controversial candidate. But as Manafort's own past efforts have proved, toning down Trump isn't easy. When Manafort told a closed-door meeting of RNC officials earlier this year that Trump would be evolving from the part that he's been playing in primaries, Trump emerged on stage at a rally the next day as brash and defiant as ever. And when Manafort teased a shift on Trump's Muslim ban proposal, Trump bristled at the suggestion and said his advisor must have been misquoted. Trump, who has said he places a high value on loyalty, has been wary of giving his supporters any inkling of betrayal. There's more to this, but here's the thing. I mean, if the only reason, see, part of my theory about why I don't think Trump really wants to be president and why I don't think he's trying to win, there's several components to it. And one of them is his complete lack of interest in pivoting toward a general election strategy and just continuing to say ridiculous things. Now, if the only reason he was continuing to behave that way in such a non-presidential, non-statesmanlike way, if the only reason for that was Corey Lewandowski being in charge of the campaign, then who is the real Donald Trump? Because if now he's trying to tone it down a little bit because Lewandowski is out and Manafort is now the guy in charge, then, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, let's assume for a moment that he really is trying to win, which I don't believe he is. But if he is trying to win and he really does want to be president, what does it say about his own judgment that he can't figure out on his own what so many of us already know? Because the game is, when you're trying to win the presidency, during the primaries, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, during the primaries, you run to the margins of your party, you know, to try to mobilize the base of the party and get them excited about you so you can win the nomination. And then in the general election, you try to, without making it obvious that it's what you're doing, you try to move to the middle so that you can appeal to independents and maybe even peel a few off from the other side. But mostly it's independents that you're trying to win at that point. That's where the election is decided. I mean, we all kind of know that. That's how it works. How is it that Donald Trump doesn't know that's how it works? And how is it that Donald Trump can't figure out that that's how it works and what he needs to do in terms of running a general election campaign? So if the only reason for any shift in tone is the changing in the guard in terms of who is advising Trump, then does Donald Trump even have any kind of a mind of his own for this? Or is he just doing what he's told? You know? And part of why I've been so sure that Trump wasn't really trying to win is, again, his lack of any effort to shift, to change demeanor, and shift to a general election campaign. He just hasn't done it. And it sounds like he's trying to do it a little bit. But then he... You know, let me skip down to the end of this article before we hit the break. After telling Bloomberg he wouldn't refer to his plan as mass deportation, he tweeted that he didn't like the term, but emphasized that we must enforce the laws of the land. Trump has... oh, geez, now what happened? Hey, sorry, everybody. The clock on the computer that I used to know when I'm going to a break just kind of disappeared. Let me get that back. All right. We're up against another break already. Again, if you're joining us late, having some technical challenges here tonight. So we'll go ahead and take this break, and then we'll come back and finish up tonight. More Unleashed coming up. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hey, everybody, welcome back as we cruise into our final segment tonight here on Unleashed. Don't forget, you can now hear the show live 5 nights a week on IPM Nation 2. And of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we're also on OTR FM, the premium channel, on the OM Times Radio Network. This week's television edition of Unleashed, we'll have that up sometime tomorrow. Of course, the television edition now Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation. And let's see. Jen's show, Liberty Walk, by the way, if you missed that earlier, that's now at 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights, also on IPM Nation 2. And this week's show is up. She had a really interesting guest, and they made a really cool joint announcement that you'll want to hear. So you can find that at IPMNation.com/LibertyWalk, available on demand. Here's something that surprised me. And this hasn't been a story that's gotten a ton of attention, but it's worth examining because it's going to have an effect on some other folks who probably, well, who might potentially get out of prison, who probably should be in prison. We put the wrong people in prison sometimes in this country. We have a lot of nonviolent, low-level drug offenders in prison. Meanwhile, people who are genuinely corrupt get out of it. This was another Supreme Court decision. Yesterday, Supreme Court vacates former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell's conviction. This is from CNN. This was a big, big surprise. The Supreme Court on Monday unanimously threw out the conviction of former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. The 8-0 decision left open the possibility for McDonnell to be retried, but in the meantime, his conviction was vacated. McDonnell, once a rising star in Republican politics, actually, in Virginia, they used to refer to him as Governor Ultrasound because he was one of those conservative pro-life governors who thought that women should be forced to have an ultrasound before having an abortion. McDonnell, once a rising star in Republican politics, was convicted on federal corruption charges in 2014. He was found guilty of violating the law when he received gifts, money, and loans from Johnny R. Williams, the CEO of a Virginia-based company, in exchange for official acts seen as favorable to Williams and his business. The case centered around the question of what constitutes the scope of an official action under federal corruption law. Writing for the court, Chief Justice John Roberts set a clear definition of the term and how it can be used in corruption convictions. Roberts wrote, quote, "In sum, an official act is a decision or action on a question, matter, cause, suit, proceeding, or controversy. Setting up a meeting, talking to another official, or organizing an event or agreeing to do so without more does not fit that definition of an official act," unquote. He also said that political corruption can still be prosecuted by the government and noted that McDonald's actions were distasteful. Roberts wrote, quote, "There is no doubt that this case is distasteful. It may be worse than that, but our concern is not with the tawdry tales of Ferraris, Rolexes, and ball gowns. It is instead with the broader legal implications of the government's boundless interpretation of the federal bribery statute. A more limited interpretation of the term official act leaves ample room for prosecuting corruption while comporting with the text of the statute and the precedent of this court. The impact should extend far beyond McDonald's conviction," said Steve Vladek, CNN contributor and professor of law at American University Washington College of Law. Quote, "Today's ruling should clarify and dramatically narrow the scope of federal anti-corruption law and could open the door to challenges from a number of other former public officials convicted under these federal laws, including Governor McDonald's wife, Maureen, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, and others," unquote. Yeah, remember Blagojevich a number of years ago? He was an interesting guy. He looked like a, largely because of something about his hairstyle, he looked like a villain in a 70s cop show. If you're not familiar, just, you know, Google Rod Blagojevich and look at Google Images. Illinois has terrible luck with their governors. I think Blagojevich is the third one in the last couple of decades to end up in prison. It's amazing. McDonnell on Monday issued a statement expressing his, quote, "heartfelt gratitude to the justices of the United States Supreme Court for the time and attention they have given to the law in my case. From the outset, I strongly asserted my innocence before God and under the law. I have not and would not betray the sacred trust the people of Virginia bestowed upon me during 22 years in elected office, unquote. A group of his supporters also held a news conference with reporters. Hailing the ruling, citing a diverse range of legal voices that expressed concern with the broadness of the law. Former Virginia Attorney General Andrew Miller, who served in the 1970s, said he was frustrated after oral arguments when coverage of the justices' skepticism for the statute was characterized as, quote, the Supreme Court gets ready to legalize corruption, unquote. Miller said, quote, it is total nonsense. The problem instead are the statutes enacted by the Congress, which utilize a vague definition of prohibited conduct, giving prosecutors an unchecked authority to go after whomever they choose to go after for doing nothing more than routine constituent services, unquote. Now, that's interesting. Virginia State Senator Bill Stanley said, quote, despite what the federal prosecutor wanted the jury and the public to believe, not everything an elected official does is an official act. Sometimes a luncheon is just a luncheon, unquote. In a statement, Maureen McDonald's attorney, William A. Burke, of Quinn Emanuel Urquhart and Sullivan LLP, said he believes his client's conviction will soon be thrown out. That makes sense if his was, that hers would be. Quote, Mrs. McDonald, like her husband, was wrongfully convicted. We thank the Supreme Court for unanimously bringing justice back into the picture of the McDonald's, unquote. The ruling has the potential to impact several high-profile corruption cases. Attorneys for Sheldon Silver, the former New York State Assembly Speaker who was sentenced to 12 years in May for taking bribes and kickbacks, said they plan to use the ruling in appeals. Well, that's interesting. quote, the Supreme Court's unanimous decision today in the McDonald case makes clear that federal government has gone too far in prosecuting state officials for conduct that is part of the everyday functioning of those in elected office. Unquote, attorney Stephen Molo said in a statement, quote, the McDonald decision will be central to Mr. Silver's appeal, unquote. But prosecutors in that case believe their conviction would be upheld even with the court ruling. We're running out of time. I'm going to skip down. Blagojevich was a particularly interesting case. It talks about in the case of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, a jury found him guilty of charges, including attempting to sell the Senate seat vacated by the election of President Barack Obama. Though an appeals court last year threw out a handful of his convictions, they upheld others relating to soliciting campaign contributions for naming someone to the empty seat. Blagojevich is scheduled for a resentencing in August in light of the appeals court decision, and the case may come up, according to his attorney, Len Goodman. But the impact of the Supreme Court's ruling may be limited, Goodman said. Quote, I think that some of the language in it and the concerns about government overreaching are helpful, but I think that the narrow issue they looked at about the meaning of an official act is not directly on point with our case, unquote. Goodman also expressed frustration that Blagojevich's prison sentence and conviction has been upheld when he's not accused of taking flashy gifts. Quote, it's ironic that McDonald, the Supreme Court said it's distasteful. He was taking Rolex watches and Ferraris. Blagojevich never did that. He was quite scrupulous. He bought his own clothes. He bought his own Cubs tickets, unquote. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Executive Director Noah Bookbinder blasted the decision, saying it makes it harder to prosecute public officials for corruption. He said, quote, the Supreme Court essentially just told elected officials that they are free to sell access to their office to the highest bidder. If you want the government to listen to you, you had better be prepared to pay up, unquote. The government argued that McDonald received loans, deluxe shopping trips, and golf outings, and in return, used the power of his office to help Williams' company. McDonald, who attended oral arguments with his wife, Maureen, asked the Supreme Court to reverse his conviction. In 2015, he had been on the verge of reporting to prison for his two-year sentence when the court allowed him to stay out of jail pending his appeal. Wow. McDonald's lawyers argued that his actions were limited to routine political courtesies, and he never put his thumb on a scale by exercising government power on Williams' behalf. The case centered around the question of what constitutes the scope of an official action under federal corruption law, and at oral arguments, several justices searched for the proper line to draw between the regular activities of a politician and actions that could violate corruption laws. There's more to this, of course, if you want to read it online, but we're about out of time. So we'll wrap up. Don't forget, we'll have the television edition up tomorrow, and I'll share that out on social media as soon as it's up and available on the IPM Nation YouTube channel. And I'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same station. Well, one of the same stations. Wednesday nights, we're only on IPM Nation 2. But you can find me there tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern. And who knows? Maybe by then, Trump will have finally said something about the Supreme Court ruling on Texas's abortion laws. You know, everybody's waiting to hear what he has to say about it. So we'll see. All right. Good night, everybody. Talk at y'all later.
IPMNation.com.